Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Preacher Boys podcast. I make this show for you, and I hope that you really enjoy it. I have a lot of people that ask me how they can support the show financially, and you can do that by heading over to patreon.com/preacherboys. You're going to get access to exclusive content, including early releases of episodes. I've got a couple episodes right now that have been released at least a month early over on Patreon. You've got access to things like unique merch, depending on what tier you join, and you get access to some behind the scenes content that I'm posting within the group. So head over to patreon.com/preacherboys and become a member over there today. Every single supporter helps make this show a little bit more possible, especially as I continue to add additional episodes and content every single week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get back to the show.
Trigger warning. This podcast contains descriptions of various abusive situations. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to the Preacher Boys podcast, a podcast shedding light on decades of mental, physical, and sexual abuse within the independent fundamental Baptist movement. The testimonies shared on this podcast are told from the personal experience and perspective of the survivors. Not all legal outcomes are known or final. Any suspect is presumed innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. To find more information about the Preacher Boys podcast and upcoming documentary, visit PreacherBoysDoc.com or connect on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the handle @PreacherBoysDoc. Now, here is your host, Eric Skwarzynski.
So for those of you who didn't already see it, I posted 2 days ago about the arrest of Joseph Iyer. Joseph was a bus captain and Sunday school teacher at First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana for many years. And on June 9th, 2021, Gary Police Detective Olivia Vasquez secured charges against Iyer, a 50-year-old male from Merrillville, according to Lieutenant Don Westerfield. The charges date between July of 2015 and December of 2017. Iyer sexually molested a child under 14 years of age while living in Gary. Iyer was taken into custody on June 10th, 2021 by Merrillville Police Department at his residence. Joseph R. Iyer faces 3 counts of child molesting as a level 4 felony, sexual misconduct with a minor as a level 5 felony, and sexual battery as a level 6 felony. If you want to read the full story, of course, you can head over to regionnewssource.org. I'll have a link to that in the show notes of this episode. Obviously, this is just an arrest, so there is the angle of innocent until proven guilty. But nonetheless, this needs to be taken extremely seriously. Victims need to be believed. Although there is a legal process that has to happen, we need to take this with a level of extreme seriousness. So I want to lay that off the bat. But what happened is I posted that article and received a lot of, frankly, really nasty messages from people who attend First Baptist Church of Hammond. I would like to point out in my original post and really in everything I've said about this situation so far, I have not accused First Baptist Church of Hammond of covering anything up. I mentioned solely that he was a volunteer who was working there for what I've found out now is about 3 decades, working on bus ministries and as a Sunday school teacher. And so him being a part of the First Baptist Church of Hammond ecosystem is notable to the story. If for no other reason, disregarding all previous stories that have come out of First Baptist Church of Hammond, if for no other reason that parents and family who have had children on these bus routes for the last 3 decades, who have had their kids in these Sunday school classes for the last 3 decades, can be extremely aware of what the details are, ask their children the right questions, and have the email or phone number of the detectives that are actually working on the case so they can actually take any steps that need to happen if there are more victims. Right now, whether or not there are multiple victims, you know, is completely unknown. I just can know what the charges are, and that's what I'm going to go off of. And that's what I have consistently done on the show, is I report exactly what I am sure of. I report what I feel confident in. I report actual articles. I do not want to get into this conspiracy theory web of what happened. Of course, we always, when we hear these stories, are going to have our theories. But again, we have to distinguish, especially when we're covering stories like this, between what is opinion and what is fact. Right now, the fact is Iyer was arrested for sexually molesting a child under 14 years of age while living in Gary, Indiana. That's the extent of what we know. That's the extent of facts that are publicly available right now. Now, I posted about this. The brother, I believe brother or brother-in-law of Joseph Iyer posted a statement as well regarding it, telling people to go to the authorities first, not to the church, which is good advice. You should always go to the authorities first and not to the church or the pastor. You need to go to people who are qualified to handle these kind of cases. But what happened is last night, John Wilkerson made a statement via the First Baptist Church of Hammond live stream. This video is from last night, addressing this story. He does not mention Joseph Iyer by name, but these are some of the statements that he made.
There's been some accusations, and social media platforms are really in a frenzy there. I just need you to know, folks, that we have followed our protection. We've done that. We've called them so many times that we know we are on a first name basis. Our church is so large. Whenever something.
And just before we continue in the video, I want you to really listen to this statement. And I'm actually going to restart the statement. I want you to really pay attention to how much time in this 3-minute statement is devoted to talking about people who are discussing this case versus the actual act of child molestation that Joseph Iyer was arrested for. So listen to the statements from John Wilkerson. This is the senior pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And listen to how much time he dedicates to people on the internet talking about this case than he does to the case itself.
There's been some accusations, and social media platforms are really in a frenzy there. I just need you to know, folks, that we have followed our protocols for child protection. We've done that. We've called them so many times that we know we are on a first name basis. Our church is so large. Whenever something comes up, any crime against a child, we certainly turn that in. To say that we don't tell someone to go do that is ridiculous. It's not true. And a lot of the things on the social media have been framed with inaccurate information, deceit, and some malice toward the Lord.
This is a super common deflection to say that these concerns about child abuse are stemming from some kind of anger and malice against the Lord, that there's a frenzy of just hatred and animosity toward churches or to the Lord, is just a huge out of left field statement to make, especially when time and time again on this show, and I know others who've made statements about this, all identify as Christians. So it is not malice against the Lord. My concern is that there is a man who, was arrested for molesting children under 14 who had a bus route for 2 decades, almost 3 decades. That's where this frustration and concern comes from. Not any kind of vendetta against the church.
Don't think everything is... sin happens in every church. It's happened here. We grieve for innocent parties, but there's no way to defend everything, though we have a timeline. We know what we did when we did it, and we followed protocols. But at the same time, there's a lot of subjectivity, and there's going to be criticism, and there's a lot of folks jumping on bandwagons and a lot of assumptions. I love everybody, and I love the people even who disagree in those situations.
I'm sorry for keeping a pause and play this. You can watch the full statement over on Facebook or Instagram, uncut. But again, talking about assumptions, criticism, when he just spent the first bit of his conversation saying that there's a social media frenzy, that people have malice and hatred against the Lord, anger against the Lord, and then to say, I love these people. He's using this very, and I don't even know if he realizes he's doing it, but he's couching everybody who's critiquing what's happening and how this is being handled as being enemies of the Lord, and then saying, I love these people, even the people that are against us.
Do think that you can be confident, and even looking back and over this particular scenario, as grievous as I am. And
this is what's about to happen is the worst part of the statement.
See, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. God bless you. That's wonderful. Okay, be simple to those things which are evil and wise things are wise. Go read your Bible in 1 Peter tonight and pray for somebody who's going through a trial. That'll be good for all of us.
That is the worst part of the statement. The statement as a whole is extremely sloppy. But that statement right there, if you don't know what's going on, God bless you. You know, that statement is just absolutely shocking. Because here's the thing. This guy worked on a bus route for almost 3 decades, worked in Sunday school classes, attended the church, was a well-known member within the church. People need to know his name, when he was serving, what classes, what age groups he was dealing with. You don't have to go into detail about his family. You don't have to go into detail about things that are going to, bring uncomfortable shame onto, you know, his spouse or someone like that. You don't have to do a lot of those things. But to sit there and say, if you don't know what's going on, God bless you, just stay ignorant to this, is a shocking thing to hear from a leader of a massive church like First Baptist Church of Hammond. And then to tell people, just go read your Bible and pray for someone going through a trial. Read 1 Peter, which he's referring to, I believe, 1 Peter 1 through 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whose trial is he talking about? Is he talking about Joseph Iyer? Is he talking about his family? Is he saying that First Baptist Church of Hammond is going through a trial right now because of criticism from the frenzied mob on the internet? This statement is just disturbing. And again, it's his responsibility as a leader. You don't address a 20-year member being arrested for child molestation by saying to the congregation that's unaware, God bless you, that's wonderful, be simple to things that are evil. Instead, you need to ask parents, did anything happen with your children? Talk to your children. Make sure nothing happened. We want to make sure that every child that comes into the doors of our church is safe. And why don't you provide the information for the detective so if people don't want to go to the church, which they should not go to the church first anyway, can actually address this in a way that follows real protocol.
There's been some, God bless you. That's one trial. That'll be good for all of us. But I would say this, that God has been very gracious to us, and we're going to, you know, the Bible tells us if we're reviled, we should not revile again, and we need to make sure we do all we can.
I hope that verse stuck in, because it's been a lot of reviling happening from members of First Baptist Church of Hammond to myself and others. Hey, everybody, we're going to get back to the show in just a minute, but before our brief intermission, I'd like to introduce a thought-provoking new podcast called Psychotherapy. That's two words if you're going to go search for it right now. This show sheds light on the very real issue of abusive therapists and pastoral counselors. In every helping profession, including therapy, there's a vulnerability to exploitation. And Psychotherapy delves deep into the red flags, risks, and real-life stories of those affected by unethical practices. Tune in to Psychotherapy with Leah Denton on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your shows.
I'm Leah Denton, and this is Psychotherapy, a show dedicated to providing survivors of therapy harm a platform to share their stories and to offer language for those of us trying to make sense of our own experiences with the psycho in the therapist chair.
Exercise good prudence, biblical responsibility, loving everybody. And whenever you work with people, you're going to come up through some things. But I do feel very confident that God has helped us to do the right thing time after time. And I don't think any different this time.
And in regards to God helping them do the right thing time after time, I think it's important to note that First Baptist Church of Hammond is currently facing 2 negligence lawsuits as it relates to child sexual abuse. And that's not including this current case, which has yet for a lot of details to happen. But they're currently facing 2 lawsuits for negligence in cases of child sexual abuse. I just want to make that clear.
I just think it's this was all brought to the authorities before it came to us.
Which nobody argued the opposite.
There's not this one. It was already in the authorities' hands, the police department, and the Department of Social Services before we ever had the information. So anyway, those are things that are very painful to
2 minutes and 19 seconds into the statement.
You pray,
not one mention of the actual name.
God would continue to help us. And I think it's important that we continue to look to the Lord, ask God for wisdom, and continue to do what we're supposed to do.
No push for parents to talk to their kids.
As an individual, as a pastor,
anything like that.
As a people. So I hope that that's the case. If you have questions, you're welcome to call us. I can assure you nothing has been covered up. Nothing has been put under the rug. That's just not happening. And I know that that's an accusation, but that is not valid. And I certainly ask that God will help us.
And again, I'm not sure where the accusation was made. It wasn't made on my
page. We'll let the authorities take care of whatever they need to. We cooperate with them if any of that ever happens. We want to do the right thing. So you pray for us. I ask that you do that. And that would be a good thing for us to pray for tonight. And there are many, even if we begin to give more information, it would hurt innocent people. And it's not necessary. Okay, so you pray for us if you would, please. Let's
not wanting to give details because it'll hurt innocent people, I think he's clearly talking about the family in this instance. But again, the priority in this case needs to be, are there more victims? Who are they? Do they have the freedom and the ability to come forward? And everything in that statement screams, let's move on. Let's not keep talking about this. Yeah, you can ask us questions if you have them. But, you know, no mention of what victims could do, who they can contact, what the steps are, what the protocol is, a reminder of what the church protocol is. There's none of that here. And so it's extremely frustrating listening to this statement, hearing very broad accusations made against people who are concerned about this case. And then there's no real call to action outside of go read your Bible, stay ignorant to what you are already ignorant about, and just move along. Nothing to see here. That, again, a cover-up, I mean, let's define it. Like, a cover-up doesn't have to be he sat in a room and deliberated, like, how do we shuffle a predator? A cover-up can also be, hey, let's go ahead and just move along. If you don't know what's going on, you don't need to know what's going on. That's covering it up. That is what covering it up actually looks like. And again, there was nothing in my original statement that called into question how First Baptist Church of Hammond covered it. Of course, based on past cases, I don't have the highest of hopes for a First Baptist Church of Hammond, but it's extremely frustrating to see that this was such a sloppy statement about what happened. And again, there was nothing that was said in my statement. I'm looking back over the original statement that was made by Joe's brother. So Matthew Iyer is Joe's brother. A couple years ago, we tried to warn his church, even with evidence, but they refused to hear the evidence and promoted him, continued to allow him to work with children. They say that they brought up concerns and evidence and asked him to move along, which if that is the case, then First Baptist Church of Hammond needs to respond to that accusation. They need to put out some kind of timeline. They say they have a timeline of when they did everything. They need to present that. And again, I have heard for years, and I'll kind of close on this point. I have heard for years and years, Wilkerson is different. Wilkerson is different. Wilkerson is different than how every other leader at First Baptist Church of Hammond has been. He's soft-spoken, and he's going to change the way things are done around there. If that's the case, this does not give me the highest hope that that is true. I've heard nothing but good things about Wilkerson. I personally met Wilkerson, and he is a nice person. But that doesn't mean he's handling this situation properly. And just because someone is nice does not mean that they're a good person. Again, I'm not calling to question whether or not Wilkerson's a good person or bad person. But if he is truly concerned about the well-being of his congregation, if he truly is concerned about the safety of his church, this statement is not the way to handle it. And I hope that he will prove everybody that has told me this since I was in high school, that is, and in elementary school, that's like, oh, Wilkerson is this really good guy. I hope that he'll prove them right by putting out a actual statement that details what happened, a timeline of what and when everything took place, and, you know, give parents an opportunity to really come forward and address the situation in a meaningful way. I'm going to give one last update because I was scrolling through Facebook. I saw this pop up. This is just an hour ago. It was posted that Joseph Iyer has been bailed out by his wife, Sarah, who currently resides on school property at Hammond Baptist Schools. I believe that since Joe has been charged, FBC will ban him from the school property like any business would. However, up until now, Joseph Iyer has been spending 3 to 5 nights a week living there on school property with his wife, Sarah, mostly long weekends. If you see him on Hammond Baptist property, I'd recommend calling the police. Until FBC makes an announcement he's been officially banned, please be careful. I'll update this as soon as I hear confirmation that he's officially banned. But that is kind of what's happened in the recent updates. I'll read one more post from Matthew Iyer as well. And this is the statement here that he made regarding Wilkerson's conversation that he just gave from the pulpit. Matthew wrote, Pastor Wilkerson made a public statement last night, apparently wants his church and listeners to know that the things that have been said here on social media about the church were posted with deceit and some malice against the Lord. I have no malice against God at all, or even against First Baptist Church of Hammond. Perhaps he considers himself to be a god or worships his own god. Either way, I consider it blasphemous to frame accusations against evil actions as being against God or written with malice against God. Be careful invoking God's name falsely, John Wilkerson and First Baptist Church of Hammond. Using his name in vain is one of the Big Ten, and to do it publicly while claiming to represent God is not only bearing false witness, it's blasphemy of the highest order. Ministers, let's have a little respect for God's holy name. How about we not pretend anything written calling you out is somehow written against God, as if you're the Pope or some kind of deity? Again, let me know your thoughts on the statement. Again, I'm going to avoid a lot of speculation because that's not what I like to deal with. But I will update you guys as soon as I find out more regarding this story, if more comes out. And we'll move forward from there. But thank you so much for watching, and appreciate all of you for jumping on and listening today.
Thank you for listening to the Preacher Boys podcast. If you appreciated the content on the show, please leave a review on iTunes, and don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the handle @PreacherBoysDoc. Additional information can always be found on PreacherBoysDoc.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.